Today, like I said, we are talking about how to build explosive strength in order to increase your vertical jump. If any of you guys didn't know, recently, I think maybe 8 months ago, we launched a vertical jump masterclass where it is a 12-week program and you go through training in order to increase your vertical jump. And we have our first few kids through the program and they have seen insane results. So I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Darren Fiakuski, one of the co-hosts of this podcast. Billy, you are our other podcast if you want co-host if you want to introduce yourself, and then we'll kind of dive into maybe some of the results that we have already seen from kids that have gone through our vertical jump masterclass.
Sure. Hey, everybody. Billy Glisson, PowerCore 360 founder. I'm a strength coach, exercise physiologist, and been working with athletes 2 or 3 decades, long time.
Yeah, and so Billy, can you tell us, like I mentioned before, we have gotten our first few kids through the Vertical Jump Masterclass, which is super exciting. Can you tell us more about the results? I know we had some kids with some crazy vertical jump results.
Yeah, I mean it's really good. If you look at numbers, if you just get caught up in numbers, most of these athletes, the majority of them did at least 2.5, 3 inches. One or two athletes got into the 4.5 inch area. So that's really good.
Yeah, and just to mention again, this is only over a 12-week period. So if they do continue their training, in theory, they should keep seeing more and more results, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure. And with quick point on that is most of these athletes, for them, a lot of them, it's their first time really doing strength or vert program or jump program or anything like that. So all the time I talk about, we're not in a rush to do something stupid. We build a really good foundation in the first month, the first 4 weeks, before we still really start pushing strength and other kind of jumping exercises, just to be smart, build a good foundation, keep them safe in the process.
Yeah, so today we are really going to dive into how can you build the strength you need in order to jump higher. And Billy is really going to walk us through maybe different exercises and the theories behind what PowerCore uses in order to see these results. But first, I want to mention that if you do have any questions about vertical jump or anything else volleyball related, make sure to leave it in the chat. We'd love to answer any questions from you guys. And at the end, we do have a bunch of social questions from this week that we got from you guys on Instagram. So we will be answering those at the end. But yeah, any other questions you guys have, feel free to drop them in the chat. So let's just dive right into the first question we have for Billy today. And that is, why is strength so important to increase vertical jump for a volleyball player specifically?
Well, it's really simple as I can say. It's a function of physics. You've got your body weight, your mass, it's got to get off the ground. And so if you build leg strength, if you build strength in the right muscles, predominantly the leg muscles, you're going to be able to get off the ground higher if it's the right kind of strength.
Yeah, that makes sense. And can you maybe break down more about what is explosive strength versus non-explosive strength?
Yeah, I mean, that's really the key. It's specific kinds of strength. You can go into the gym, and we hear this all the time, right? Somebody will get on one of those social media platforms and say, just go in the weight room and get strong. And getting strong, doing the wrong type of strength program will bring different kind of results. We want fast strength. We want explosive strength. So it's really important that we're building that because there's so many common exercises. You can go in the weight room, they're very common exercises, good exercises, but you have to know what exercises you're doing and you have to program it in the right way. Otherwise, you build slow strength.
Yeah, and can you maybe dive into or explain more about what does slow strength look like? If somebody has slow strength, how can they know they have slow strength versus explosive strength if they're
Sure. Well, let's try to be practical here. Either everybody's been in the weight room or you've watched somebody in the weight room, and let's say they're doing squats, right? And they put a little bit of weight on the squat bar, and so they start doing squats, and it's relatively easy to move, and you're moving relatively quickly under control. What starts happening is you increase the weight, the load to get stronger, you'll start noticing people start moving slower. There's an inverse relationship, an opposite relationship with weight and speed, how fast you can move it. Many common exercises then to strengthen your legs might make you really strong, but they'll build slow strength. And so what we need is explosive strength, fast strength that helps you actually improve your vertical jump, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And can you touch on, so volleyball, as we all know, athletes, parents, coaches, all of us know that volleyball is such an explosive sport, not only in jumping, but in also digging. Even you need to be explosive movements, right? Blocking, you need these explosive movements. So you see it in everywhere across volleyball. So I understand that fast strength is obviously more important than slow strength, but can we talk more about why it's important for more than just hitting?
Sure. And actually, let me dig a little deeper into that last question, because I think we touched on slow strength, but I don't think I did a very good job of explaining what's fast strength. So let's go back to that analogy. Yeah. We're talking about the example. You're doing a heavier weight. As you put on heavier weight, you move slower, right? That builds slow strength. Here's what happens when you jump. Let's take a volleyball blocker or an attacker going for an attack swing, right? And outside, trying to get off the ground quickly. Here's what happens inside the body, really quick, really simple. When a muscle contracts for you to jump, that whole movement takes less than a third of a second, right? Really fast. You see somebody in the weight room lifting very, very heavy weights, it might take them half a second or three quarters of a second to come up out of that lift. It's way too slow. You're getting strong, but you're building slow strength. That more than likely could be the wrong type of exercise. You're building strength, but if it builds slow strength, it doesn't convert into vertical jump. We need to build strength that's fast, that's explosive, that happens in a third of a second or even faster. That way we have a chance of converting that into a block jump, an attack jump, or something else. And to your point, even playing defense and you're digging, you're trying to move explosively. Those are things that have to happen right now, right, really quickly. So we've got to develop fast, explosive strength and movements versus just seeing how strong we can get, because we can build the wrong kind of strength, the slow strength.
Yeah, and the message here that some people hear when we are talking about things like this and different exercises like this is they just hear that you shouldn't be in the gym and you shouldn't lift heavy weights. And I think that is one of the comments that we see a lot on our social medias. So can we maybe discuss what the points of that are? Are you saying don't go into the gym and ever lift heavy?
Yeah, no, I'm a strength coach. So strength is super important. And when it comes down to vertical jump, once again, it's a matter of physics. Whatever the athlete weighs, we've got to have enough strength and power to move their body quickly within a third of a second up and off the ground fast, right? So you will make improvements. A lot of young athletes who are maybe 13 or 14 and they're just starting in a vertical jump program, in my opinion, if the program's structured correctly, they're going to get better because you're going to work on mechanics. You're going to teach them how to jump, how to land, and how to move their body, and that's really important. You'll see a couple of inches probably improvements off young athletes just by teaching them proper movement mechanics when they jump and land. But strength is super important. Strength in terms of the muscles, the quads, the hamstrings, the glutes, the quads, all those muscles can help an athlete get off the ground fast. So strength is important. Just once again, we got to make sure it's fast strength. So we need to do exercises, and then there's other variables we're not going to get into today in terms of how you design the program and how the athlete performs the strength program to develop fast, explosive strength that will actually increase their vert and not just make their legs strong.
Yeah, definitely. And like I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, we do have a program, a vertical jump masterclass. Can you maybe talk about part of things that you do in that program with the athletes in order to increase their vertical jumps as far as like lifting weights go?
Yeah, sure. And first it starts off with just the foundation. Once again, we're not in a rush to jump in. You could probably improve a lot of athletes' verts in 6, maybe 8 weeks, right? But a lot of the athletes we're seeing, it's their first time in the weight room. It's their first time doing vert stuff or anything like that. So, you know, we're going to build a good foundation. We're going to build strength, a basic strength foundation. We're going to build what we call stability, which is control, the ability to control the knees, the feet, the ankles, the legs, so that actually when the muscles work and the feet push down into the ground, the forces in the body go straight up, and that'll help vert versus the forces going one way or the other. The other side of that is just, you know, when you get into good alignment and good mechanics, we're talking about alignment, aligning the hip over the knee, over the middle of the foot. Once again, it not only will increase vert, but what goes up comes down when they land. You know, we're trying to avoid knee pain, knee injuries, and things like that. So it's not just how high and how quickly can you get the athlete to jump up, but we need to understand we're trying to avoid knee pain, knee injuries, ankle injuries, other things. So mechanics are important initially, building the foundation of strength, stability, and then we get into strength. But we don't typically start into any kind of heavy strength training, even though they're doing base strength exercises in the first 4 weeks, we don't really get very serious about it until about week five, right? And then they start moving heavier weights because they've got a good foundation and their muscles, their body now knows how to move and perform jumping movements and landing. Now we can start strengthening those movements. We can start strengthening the muscles with fast strength exercises to start helping their vert improve.
Yeah, and audience, I want to address you guys really quick because I know a lot of you have probably been either in weight rooms or told to get in the weight room if you want to improve your vertical jump. So leave us a comment. Tell us what you've been told in the past in order to increase your muscle strength or increase your vertical jump. What are some things that you're either doing or have been told to do? We'd love to hear that from you guys and then have a little bit of a discussion about those things. Touching on those points, though, that you made, Billy, I know that one of the athletes in our vertical jump, like you said, had never really pushed, like, even a sled before, been in the weight room, and then they had some insane results of how much weight they really could push at the end of it. Could you explain that one athlete scenario to us?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them have had pretty good results, but I think what it is it's learning how to do the specific exercises, and a sled is one of the things we use. And let's get into that a little bit. Like, why do we choose a sled? We push a sled because it's easy for the athlete to, and it's easy for us, especially via Zoom or virtually, to train an athlete and give them feedback and not put their spine at risk. One of the biggest issues with young athletes is they go in the weight room. And once again, I'm a strength coach. I've taught every conceivable lift, from Olympic lifts to squats to lunges, RDLs, you name it. I've been there, done that over the last 25 years. But with young athletes, you take them in, you put a bar on their back, and you start loading that bar up, right, to do squats. You're loading that bar up to get more load on the legs, to strengthen the leg muscles, to go down into a squat movement and come back up. It's very similar to jumping. So conceivably, that's a great idea. The problem is with young athletes, the muscles around their spine, their core muscles, are very weak. And their leg muscles are actually stronger than their spine and their core muscles are. So now you start loading up the spine to get them to squat lower. And as they start to stand up or come down, now the bar's moving, their spine's moving. They can't, what we call, provide stability. They can't control it, right? Now their back ends up getting hurt. So we choose not to, especially virtually, do exercises like squats with weights on the back. We are bending, flexing, and extending the ankle, knees, and hips. You have to do that to jump. But we like to use a sled because it's a really safe way to do that. And so to answer your question, one of the athletes did extremely well, came up 4.5 inches, right? But it doesn't just happen. We built the mechanics, we built the mobility, the basic strength in the first 4 weeks. Then we start pushing sleds and doing other exercises, fast exercises. And here's the deal, we'll come back and remind me to talk about this. There are some heavy strength exercises we're certainly doing, but the key is how do you mix those two together? But pushing the sled, back to that point, when you push the sled, it allows us to put the spine, the body, the core, the shoulders, the body in a really good position to generate the forces, keep the spine in a good position, make the leg muscles, the jumping muscles of the legs, develop fast strength, explosive strength. And we actually are moving relatively fast. And so, you know, the one athlete, and this is crazy because we've had a lot of athletes that you take a 13 or 14 year old female athlete, initially their warm-up weights on a sled might be 30, 40, or 50 pounds. We've got athletes that were pushing over 200. One athlete's pushing over 300 pounds in a sled in just a few weeks, right? And so the results of that is the legs start getting stronger, building explosive strength. And in a few weeks, you start seeing the vert come up. You also see them moving. I mean, when they're training with us, it's not just strength exercises. I think there was a question on social media the other day about what's the best exercise to improve vert, right? Well, guess what? If you're trying to get better at jumping, what should you do? You got to jump, right? Just going into the weight room and lifting weights is not jumping. If you can make the muscles that help you jump stronger, faster, build explosive strength with them, and then now go jump, by combining maybe doing a sled exercise, and then after the sled exercise, now you go and you do some jumping movements. Once again, it's knowing how to mix in strength, explosive strength movements with jumping activities to where it's safe, you get the strength built, and then you go work on the jump and jumping, landing, and moving, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I really want to emphasize a point that Billy made there about, it is about how you mix it. So it's not just us saying you shouldn't go and lift heavy, right? No lifting heavy, because I think that's where a lot of people see And we get a lot of like hate comments, you could say, about that. And how are you going to get stronger if you don't lift? You should just get in the gym. It's knowing how to mix the right exercises appropriately and then build that foundation, like Billy said, in order to lift then heavy after that foundation is already built, not just getting in the gym, lifting heavy, and then just expecting to jump higher. It's a combination of things that you really do need a good program or somebody that knows how to mix those specific exercises in order to then gain the strength to jump higher. So ditto everything that you said there, Billy, but it is really cool to be able to see these athletes go from maybe never pushing a sled in their life to now pushing over 200, 300 pounds. It's a pretty significant increase within a short period of time. Again, people, this is only within a 12-week period. So imagine after a year of doing this training, how much more or how much stronger these athletes are going to get, and how much more results they'll see, and how much higher they're going to jump. So
yeah, I think that's really important to note that it's, you know, 13 or 14. Once again, we're not in a rush to try to max their vert in 6 weeks. All you're going to do is hurt the athlete. You're going to hurt their knees, hurt the back, whatever the case is. These athletes will be able to continue to improve their vert and their explosive strength over 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7 years. A female athlete, their maximum strength is until 22 or 23 years of age. So there's plenty of upside window, if you would, to continue to develop that. But that's why we're trying to build a base of mobility, stability, mechanics, and then we start building strength on top of that. But at the end of the 12 weeks, we're telling the athletes, you can still make huge changes, gains over the next few years. Now you've got the foundation, but they know how to move. They know how to jump. They know how to do the exercise. They know how to control the body. And now let's continue it if they choose to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to go back to this point that we see a lot of comments on our own social medias of people commenting, well, just get in the weight room. But it's not only that. I think that there's a lot of information out there and a lot of creators that just make videos saying that you just need to get into the gym and get stronger. And Billy, I just want you to really address, is that good advice? When you see those videos, what are you thinking in your brain when you see those?
Well, it's just, you got to be specific. Once again, you can get strong in a lot of different ways. And here's real world. So my short answer to your question is you got to be specific. What are you trying to do? Every exercise has a specific purpose, right? Even though people don't think of it that way, like, okay, I'm doing a bicep curl. What's that designed to do? If I'm doing a squat, I may do a squat in a very specific pattern. My feet might be adjusted for volleyball. It might not be real wide with my feet and my toes out. That might be great when I'm teaching a certain kind of squat. But if I'm trying to actually teach and make the muscles of the jumping muscles for a blocker, they're not going to jump with their feet that wide and land with their feet that wide. That would be slow. So we're going to put them in very specific positions. The training becomes super specific, if that makes sense. And so that's when you know the science and you understand advanced training conditioning principles and programs, you know, you can fine tune things. And so you're not just taking an athlete in the gym and say, hey, go over and do some squats and RDLs, common exercises, but how you do them, what weights do you choose? What speed of movement do you do? Here's the key. Once again, what do you do afterwards? And it's been common practice for years, if not decades, that you take a strength program for an athlete and they would do heavy weightlifting, maximum strength training on one day, let's say on Monday, and on Tuesday are like, okay, cool, we're going to teach them how to jump on Tuesday. Well, but the stimulus the body just had for 24 hours was just get big, just get strong, and move slow. And the brain and nervous system's learning and memorizing how to move slow, even though it's strong. And they don't do their jumps to the next day. Well, probably 20 years ago, you know, we were reading the science and just trying to keep up with what made sense. So we started doing just like the sled. We do an activation exercise. We're gonna push heavy weights. That kicks on the muscles. That activates the jumping muscles, quads, hamstrings, glutes, calves, right? Butt muscles, right? All those guys that are helping you jump, it turns them on. Then immediately, probably within 20 or 30 seconds while they're on, we've got a window of time. We're not going to wait till tomorrow and Tuesday. We're immediately within 20 or 30 seconds. We're going to go jump right now while those muscles are on, right? And so understanding, once again, how to mix heavy strength movements with fast movements and understanding recovery to where you're recovery to where they're not going to get hurt too. You're not going to go jump 30 times in a row, understanding how the body works, that you're building endurance when you're jumping that many times in a row versus Maybe you're just jumping three or five or maybe seven times if you're really trying to maximize vert. So once again, there's a lot of science. The more you know about it, the better you can be at designing a program and then supervising a program to make sure athletes get better and don't get hurt in the process.
Right. And I maybe something that a lot of you guys don't know about Billy is he actually worked with a club local in Colorado, Front Range Volleyball Club, for 20 plus years doing their strength training. Billy, can you maybe dive into what you saw from people or athletes going from being a senior at Front Range Volleyball Club to then going to their college and coming back to you and training with you maybe in the summers or off season? What did you see from those athletes?
Yeah, it was a standard practice that, you know, we did a really good job. We would, you know, it was funny. My first 6 months with Jim Murray, who's still the director of Front Range, you know, he didn't know me and I was recommended as someone to work with their athletes. And one of the first things we were looking at 20 something years ago, probably 25 years ago, was vert. And so, man, we tested everything. We had all the data on the wall. We were trending it and tracking it and showing. And I told him, vert's going to go down in the first 4 or 5 weeks, right? As we start doing strength training and all this, the body's going to change. Their actual verts are going to go down, so be prepared. And then if we stick with the process, it will come up later, right? The good news is if you fast forward, you know, we saw a lot of athletes. A lot of athletes went Division I, right, that played for Front Range and for Jim. And it would be a common practice when they were a senior, right, and they're playing on 17 or 18 open. They graduate. They go to college. They're going to play, they'd leave, they'd have a PR, their vert was up, you know, personal record for them. We would see them come back the next year, maybe at freshman break or something over the holidays or something after the collegiate season was over, and they had tree trunk legs, right? The problem was they got with a strength coach that may have had a background in football and was really good at designing strength programs to build mass, size, and slow strength, right? Maybe for a football lineman or someone that needs more mass, more size, but the athletes, a lot of these female athletes were going through those programs and they would come back and they were frustrated. They had tree trunk legs, which they weren't happy about, right? And at the same time, their vert would be down 2 inches. They had been developing, they were in a program that was designed to develop strength and mass, muscle mass. And we go back to that and say, look, it's a matter of physics. If I bring you in as an athlete, let's say you're a female athlete and you weigh 130 or 140 pounds, right? And you're a middle school or a high school athlete. And if we start doing a program where we start building tree trunk legs and it's just designed for slow strength and to build mass, now I take you, let's say you're 140 pounds when you started, now I take you to 150 pounds, guess what? Now we have to add even that much more strength to get 150 pounds off the ground. So, you know, the design of the program, the exercises you choose, doing fast exercises, knowing how to mix them together is really important. We want explosive strength. We want exercises to make the vert go up. Just be careful when you pick up a program off the internet, you know, or anywhere off a book or wherever, make sure it's designed for vertical jump and make sure you know that it's actually designed by people that understand and have some experience with building explosive strength and vertical jump versus just building mass and building, you know, slow strength or something like that. It's super important.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely something that a lot of colleges may see. It's maybe some strength coaches aren't specifically knowledgeable about what exactly needs to be trained in order to optimize vertical jump or explosive strength in the volleyball game. Maybe they, like Billy said, do train a lot more football athletes. So I think that's something that you obviously can't fight with your college strength coach, right? Like that's not, I mean, I've been there, so I know that you can't just be like, oh, I'm not doing this workout today. That's not what Billy's saying. He's just saying, then maybe when you're doing your own training, look and find out what do you need to do in order to optimize the ratio of body mass to explosive strength and vertical jump that you want and how you can get those results. But it's not going against your current coaches, I think. We should probably clarify that.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, we're not building collegiate programs. We're building programs for middle school, high school, club athletes, right? So, you know, we're not saying don't follow your strength coach in college. We're not saying that at all. We're just saying, look, we're working with 13, 14-year-old female and male athletes, some 15, some 16s. So let's adjust things appropriately. Let's just make sure we have the right program that's designed for fast, explosive strength that's going to improve vertical jump. And, hey, here's the deal. You got to measure vertical jump when you start. it's easy to see you're getting stronger. You go in the weight room, you haven't done an exercise, you start doing that exercise. In a week or two, you're seeing you're moving more weights off the stack, more free weights, whatever you're doing. You're getting stronger, right? But you better be measuring what's happening to your vertical jump, right? And you better understand what's going to happen 3 or 4 weeks into the program. It's likely going to drop. And then week 4, 5, 6, 7, and probably more like 8, 9, and 10, you're really going to start, if you're doing the right exercises, you're going to start seeing the bird improve. The other thing that if you have the right eye for it, is it's not just doing weight room exercises. You know, we do a lot of jumps. We do a lot of movements with the athletes where we're watching them move. You can see actually the physical development starting about week 6 or 7. You can see their leg muscles starting to define the right strength, the right muscles, not necessarily muscle mass, but you can see the definition and the jumping muscles improving. And then you can see them start to move better. You can see them starting to jump higher off the boxes we jump off of, the apparatus we use, right? You can start to see that. And then if you're talking with the athlete, right, we're asking them, well, I had a discussion with one today, right? Are you feeling this on the court? Are you moving better? Are you moving faster? Do you feel lighter on your feet, right? So it's not just, you know, vertical jump and being on the court is movement training. We're doing explosive strength exercises to help athletes move better, jump higher, not just get strong in the weight room. Our end goal is not to get strong in the weight room, it's to jump higher. So we have to have an eye for that. And most important thing is we got to be measuring that to make sure they're actually, in fact, improving their vert.
Yeah, definitely. And I want to circle back to the point you made, right? Our programs are made for 13, 14, 15, 16, maybe 17-year-olds. So let's put ourselves in the position of one of those athletes right now. Let's say I'm a 14-year-old really looking to increase my vertical jump. What are some things that I should, especially like for females, what are some things that I should be focusing on to build muscle?
Well, let me refine that last statement to build explosive strength, right? I mean, we're going to build muscles, but we're going to build muscles. We're really going to train muscles to move faster, to contract faster, to get them off the ground. So one of the things I think that you're looking for just asking like, what are tips? Find someone you're going to train with that understands, number one, movement, right? And understands at the end of the day, what are the movements that happen in volleyball? That's one of the things we do towards the end of our 12-week program. We're not just in the weight room saying, get strong in the rack, get strong pushing the sled, and I hope this carries over into your volleyball, to your block swing or to your approach swing. We then take these athletes and we're working with them because we know how to teach the approach, we know how to teach the block, footwork, right, and those movements. We got to actually integrate that in those, that power and strength they're developing has to be integrated into their footwork. Otherwise, it's not going to carry over. I'm going to give you a really fast story that I go back to when my own son was in high school playing basketball, and he and a couple guys off the basketball team when they were juniors went through this program. I won't say the name of it, but high-speed treadmill, all this great stuff, you know, that they were working on explosive strength and vertical jump, right? And one of the kids was in the 25-mile-an-hour club. That means they could run 25 miles an hour up a 25% grade. That's incredible, right? And you had to be able to do it, I think, for like 10 or 15 seconds. Super hard. Got to develop a lot of power and strength, explosive strength to do that. Well, these guys were basketball players, and so I was coaching their all-star off-season team. And so we were at one of the practices, and one of my son's friends came in and just graduated from the program, had the 25-mile-an-hour club T-shirt on, right? I gave him the ball at the free throw line, and I said, dunk it for me now, right? He took two steps, like, to do a layup. He hadn't integrated the footwork, the ball handling, the skills, and the footwork together. The ball went one way. He tripped and went the other way, and I just kind of laughed, and I realized that's explosive strength. That's a strength coach or a sports performance coach working with an athlete that hasn't dotted I's and crossed T's, hasn't integrated the power and strength into the footwork. So for us, take that into volleyball now and say, okay, what happens? You better take your athletes when you start making them more explosive, improving their strength and their vert. You better be doing, if they're a blocker, you better be doing block footwork and integrating that into it. If they're a hitter, getting a slide and an outside, whatever, you better be integrating that footwork in. Otherwise, they're stronger, they're faster, they move better, but they can't perform the movements of volleyball. At the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do, right? We want to jump higher to block higher, jump higher, hit harder, right? Makes sense?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. That's a great story. I think it's a great learning curve and really puts in perspective to people like, yeah, you can do all these great things. You can look great in the weight room, but how does that reflect when then you are playing volleyball or basketball or whatever sport that you are playing? What does that look like in your actual sport? Because that's why you're doing all the training, right? You're not just doing all the training just to train. You're doing it to get better at your sport. So what does that look like?
That was your initial question, just about just getting strong. You can get strong, but be careful. You may not actually reach the end goal you're trying to get strong for. Be really specific about it. So I think your question was, and my answer was, you know, find someone that understands how to work and how to design, how to supervise a vert program, work on the mechanics, teach them how to jump and land. And once again, now here's something that's really important in volleyball, right? Anybody that's worked with us knows an outside hitter tends to come down on one leg at times, right? And you, as a person who's had a knee injury as an outside hitter, you understand we're trying to teach athletes to land on 2 feet, right? To rotate their body, all really good. We also train athletes, and in our vert program, we spend a lot of time working on single leg landing early in the program. In that first 4 weeks, when we're talking about strength and stability, really one of the things we're working on is jumping off of one leg, landing on one leg, and being able to balance that, because your ability to take the muscles of the legs, especially the hip and butt muscles and the ankle and foot muscles, provide stability to the knee. If you don't train them to land on one foot, they will come down in the season on a tight set or a bad set or something. They're going to come down on one foot, even though you tried to tell them not to, right? So we've always basically said, okay, we don't want them to. We're going to try to train them out of it, but we're going to try to tell them not to land on one foot, but we're going to train them to be prepared to have the strength and stability in their legs, their hips, and even in their core to be able to control that landing and not hurt themselves. So once again, this is the difference between understanding what happens in volleyball and that a lot of volleyball athletes are going to come down on one leg. So we don't spend a ton of time doing two-legged activities. We do a lot of single-legged activities, right? We jump off of one leg, we land off of, on one leg, once again, because that's going to actually make them stronger, give them the ability to tolerate what happens on the court and hopefully prevent or reduce the likelihood of them having a meniscus, an ACL injury, an ankle injury, or something else that's very common in volleyball.
Yeah, and as somebody who did have a knee injury, like Billy said, definitely take down these notes and points, because it is something that you do want to avoid if you can, and really train your muscles to be able to absorb that impact that is inevitable in volleyball. So I think these are some great points today. I want to move on to our social questions, because we got a lot of social questions this week about vertical jump. And again, anybody who's listening, if you guys have any other questions for us that maybe we're not answering right now, please leave them in the chat and we will make sure to answer them before this live is over today. But our first question, our first social question that we received this week is, Billy, can you tell us some tips to improve vertical jump for my daughter?
Build mechanics, spend some time building the mechanics, build some basic strength there. And to be safe about it, depending on their age, keep a bar off their back until they're about 15 years of age, right? When they get in the weight room then, and you've taught them how to jump, how to land, you've most importantly built core strength so they have the ability to control their core and their spine, then you can start putting a weight on their back, right? Because once again, like I said earlier, too many people are in a rush to put a weight on their back and start loading it up. And you watch the athlete and it's like, yeah, you're trying to overload the legs to make them stronger to jump higher, but they can't control it. They end up hurting their back or creating back strains or whatever the case is. We're trying to make athletes better. We shouldn't be injuring our athletes. So that's, to me, super important, that you get with somebody, they're not in a rush to do something, in my terminology, stupid. Let's look at these athletes at 13 or 14 and understand we don't need them to peak in the next 6 weeks. You know, we've got 3 or 4 or 5 years for them to get through, you know, middle school, high school, club. And if they're trying to get to college, we've got plenty of time to build the mechanics and the explosive strength. It doesn't have to be done this week.
Yeah, definitely. And we did just get a question from Anthony on YouTube saying, I love this conversation. I'm an older athlete who's in the gym a lot, hoping I'm doing the right work, but I definitely like what I'm hearing so far. I often wonder if my gym work is working. And I think this is maybe something that a lot of people feel. They're in the gym a lot and maybe they are doing what we're saying. They're mixing in what they think are the right exercises to increase their vertical jump. but maybe they're not seeing the results right away. What do you say to people that are feeling like that?
Well, you know, I don't know how old Anthony is, but it sounds like he's not a 13 or 14 year old, but it doesn't matter if you're 13, 14, or let's say it's, we've had athletes in our program in their 20s or 30s and some even 40s that go through our power hitting. Here's the deal that I see happening in the weight room in fitness centers, right? Probably not so much in performance centers, hopefully, or collegiate strength programs, but where you've got athlete or coaches or trainers that might be working with an athlete but really don't understand function. I see a lot of athletes doing RDLs, right? Romanian deadlift, which could be a great exercise to build what we call the posterior chain, the hamstrings, the glutes, right? The back, right? Those are all muscles that can help you jump. But what I see happening is I see them lifting the weight off the ground. You know, they start down in a squat or deadlift position. They stand up, and instead of bending back over and letting their hamstrings stretch, their calves stretch, their back, their glutes stretch, right? That's a really important piece of vertical jump training and function in life, right? But I see all kinds of people now, they pick the bar up and they drop the bar. And I'm just like, why are you doing that, right? That's not functionally how the body works. And I'm going to try to say it this way, and I know we're getting a little geeky into the weeds here, but before there's any movement that happens in sport, and maybe if you go out a little wider here, I'm going to show a movement to try to explain this, right? Let's keep it simple here and talk about a throwing movement for a second, right? If I'm going to do a throwing movement, you don't see a pitcher, like today's opening season for baseball, Major League Baseball, you don't see a pitcher on the mound take their arm and go like this, right? What do they do first? They turn their chest, unless they're pitching out of the stretch, they turn their chest as a right-handed pitcher to the third baseman. They're doing what we call a counter stretch. They are stretching muscles in their core and their back that are going to actually, once they stretch, they're going to come back the opposite direction and help increase body torque and arm speed and ball speed, right? In vertical jump, let's make this now related to jumping. If I'm doing a RDL, some type of a squat movement or something, right? I want to bend over and pick up the bar. I want to stand back up, but I don't want to drop the bar. I want to take the weight and bend back over into what we call a loaded position. Loaded means we're going to take the hamstring muscles, the glutes, the calves, the quads, the butt muscles, and some of the back. We want them to stretch. We want them to load. That's the eccentric phase of muscle contraction. That's so important, right? If you don't do that, you're not going to see great results in anything functional. If you're trying to jump higher, move faster, throw harder, whatever muscles you're training to be stronger, you have to train them functionally. Not only the concentric movement, the shortening movement as you stand up from an RDL or a squat or something like that, but you actually have to bend back over, right? Be able to control that and get strong in that bending motion, bending over. That's called eccentric strength. Super important. That's how the body moves in athletic or sports movements. That's how it moves in vertical jumps. So for Anthony, number one, make sure you're not just picking the bar up and dropping it. Control that movement, go down with it. That counter movement is so super important for sports movement, especially for vertical jump where we're loading the hips, the knees, the ankles, and even the back and trying to come up and out of there explosively.
Yeah, what a great answer. I think there's a lot to digest in that answer, but we just got another question on Instagram. So, and I really like this one. It's something that we haven't talked about yet during this episode, and it's from Dragons801 on Instagram. And it's, I have a question. Sorry if you've already touched on this. My daughter's 15 years old for context and has practiced 3 times a week. Tournaments are 1 to 2 times a month. So, on the weekends, I would assume. Would adding a training / jump program be too much to her over training?
Probably it depends on the athlete, right? And some of it's a mental question. Ultimately, he or she's probably asking about the physical side. Here's the problem with volleyball, and you understand this very well. You've lived through it. When we go high school volleyball players, if they're in high school age, they go in the fall, right? So actually, they're starting open gyms in June and July, and then August hits, and they're in high school volleyball. And somewhere October, November, high school ends. You've got a few weeks typically before club starts, right? And then the club season may go till April, May, June, depending on your age, right? Maybe even to July if you make it to JOs, right? How much time do you have as downtime? Because I get parents all the time that call me and say, well, we're going to do this in the off season. And I say to them, what off season? There is no off season for club or high school volleyball, at least for middle school and high school kids. You're likely going to have to double up. You've got to train to get better at some point in time. A lot of the training that happens at club practice is tactical training, right? It's strategic training. We're trying to run this set, this offense, you know, and we're trying to score points. There's not a lot of individual development that happens. When you get into vertical jump, power hitting is the things that we do. Those typically now in this day and age have to happen on top of that, right? So one, the athlete does have to be super motivated to be willing to do the work. If she's practicing twice a week for club, right? And I don't know what she's doing at club, if she's just going in and doing practice or if she's doing strength conditioning there, you know, I don't know. There's other questions I would have to answer intelligently, but twice a week and then maybe she's playing a match or a power or something on the weekend, there's still plenty of free time for her muscles to go in and get probably 3 days a week, which is what we recommend. If you're trying to actually get better, you're wasting your time if you're not probably doing three times per week, right? You're not going to really develop a lot of strength and power. So just the conversation I have with a lot of parents, that athlete better be super committed to getting better. And you're going to have to do it somewhere. If he or she wants to actually get better at vertical jump or power hitting, they're going to have to double up at some point in time. That's the reality of it. We just tell the parents, sit down and look your daughter, your son in the eye and ask them, are you committed to doing the work it's going to take to get better? And if not, then readjust your goals, right? So many parents or so many athletes say, oh, I want to go play college, but they're training two or three times per week. You're competing against athletes who are training four or five times per week, not necessarily at club practice, but they're training outside of club, right? They're doing their strength and conditioning and they're doing their privates or whatever they're doing. So short answer is, it's up to the athlete, but if they want to get better, they're going to have to do the work. There's no pixie dust. That's what we say all the time. You can't sprinkle some pixie dust or drink a sports drink and get better. It's called work. And it's doing, in this case, the right work to build explosive strength for their vert.
Yeah. And I would like to add to that, as somebody who made it to the college level, I know that during my club season, I was practicing as well, probably two to three times a week. And like you said, I probably only had tournaments maybe once or twice a month. So within that time, there is a lot of days within that month that you can do strength training. And if you're not strength training during those times, you're losing out on a lot of training that, like Billy said, a lot of other athletes are doing to get ahead of you. So that's something really to consider. What are your daughter's goals? And can you walk her through his or her goals to play at the next level, and what does that really look like commitment wise, and are they actually ready to commit to that? And if they are, then great, then definitely sign them up for a program that works for best for your family. But I think it's something that is good to just have a conversation with your son or daughter before signing up and see really what their goals are, right? So good answer on that, Billy. I believe we just got another question on Instagram. This one is, love all the knowledge you guys are providing. Question, how does one fix their arm swing / hip rotation without power cores equipment and limited to access to a gym? Less than 3 years of volleyball experience. So this is kind of a loaded question, right? You have a lot of stuff that goes into all of these things. I think that we have a lot. I'll let you answer quick in a second, Billy. But we have a lot of great content across all of our platforms where you can really learn different methods and trainings that Billy has created on YouTube. Especially, there's lots of great long form content on there. So if you do want to go watch those videos before maybe committing to purchasing equipment or signing up for one of our classes, that is always available. But if you have anything to add to that, Billy.
Yeah, not really. I mean, there are on YouTube, we've got 3,000 or 4,000 videos that are on there that we've been putting up for 15 or 20 years and for a variety of sports. Step one, make sure the athlete wants to do the work. There's a lot of information we've put out there. You know, shameless plug for us is, guess what? The equipment actually accelerates the process. When we put a harness on and we put an arm cuff on, whatever the case is, the athlete can feel the correct and incorrect movements. And I know we're not here today to talk about that, but it accelerates the learning process. So you can learn more in less time. And then one of the huge benefits is because we, you know, put a resistance band on there, not only allows the athlete to feel the correct movements of the hip, the spine, the shoulder, the arm, whatever the case is, but they're actually strengthening those movements at the same time. They don't have to go to the weight room like you do in vertical jump, right? With rotational stuff, with hitting, you know, you put the harness on, you do the work, you're getting mechanics training and strength training, power training, arm speed training all at the same time. It's so efficient. I wish we had something that was similar for that in vertical jump, but we don't, right?
Yeah, definitely. Another question we just got, Instagram is popping with questions right now, and this is from a mother's perspective. She said, my daughter is 12 and will be trying out for middle school volleyball this year. Can she play all year between club, beach, and school without worrying about overuse injuries? When do you see overuse injuries mostly?
Well, the short answer is no. If you do the same movements all the time, it's probably just a function of time before she's going to have shoulder pain, back pain, knee pain. The body needs to be training in different movements, right? And so, you know, we can talk about muscle memory of jumping or muscle memory of power hitting, right? Turn your hips and do this and do that. That's important to develop that, but it's also important from an injury prevention perspective that we have a balanced program so that we're not just doing the same movements over and over and over. I'm going to give once again a quick story. I trained a local guy that played Major League Baseball, was drafted both out of high school and college, and played 10 years in professional baseball. And when I was first started training him in the offseason about 5 years ago, you know, he was in the minor leagues and he was on buses, right? And so he would come home in October, November, and he couldn't even move. He was just like so twisted up. He was a right-handed middle fielder, infielder, so he was a shortstop, second baseman, threw right to left, swung right to left. All year long for 10 months, he's turning from right to left. The body gets out of balance. It gets used to the pelvis, gets the shoulders, the shoulder blades, the spine, everything gets out of balance. You have to be able to train in season, right? Athletes have to be able to reposition their spine, put their spine back in the normal position, their pelvis. They have to do different exercises, different directions. If all they do is play volleyball, or play baseball, play basketball, whatever the sport is, and that's all they do, yeah, at some point it's going to catch up to them. Now at 12, you know, I think it was a young female athlete, I think it was a 12-year-old, sticks in my mind. That's a lot to be doing year-round, right? And so it would be probably a nice physical and mental break for them to do something different and not play volleyball year-round. And at the young ages, and this is probably really going to open a can of worms, but I feel like a lot of young athletes should be playing other sports. It helps them develop other movement patterns. It provides a mental break away from volleyball, so because they get stale in their volleyball training, if that's all they see. Playing soccer, playing basketball, playing, you know, softball, baseball, whatever the choices are, create different movement patterns. Down the road, it may actually make them a better volleyball athlete by having different experiences. And from an injury prevention perspective, you know, I think it's really good for them to get a break, especially at the young age. Is one of the, and I'll put a dot or a period on this response. You know, just working with an athlete last week, that just turned 15 last weekend, and you know, I told her and the mom about a year ago, she was playing soccer, she was playing club basketball, club soccer, and club volleyball. And I said to her, and by the way, she's 6'2", right? So I said to her about a year ago, and she was 6 foot. You know, at some point when you get into high school, which he's just gotten into, it's like you're probably going to have to start thinking about focusing on one or two sports. But when they're young, when they're 12 and 13, man, play other sports. You don't know. Your son or daughter may be sick of volleyball if you're playing year-round. By the time they're in middle school, they might hate volleyball because that's all they've done for 2 or 3 years. Let them play different sports. When they start getting into high school, then you start worrying about, do we start selecting or helping them select a sport that's maybe good for them, good for their physical attributes, you know? And then last point, she's 6'2", and I said to her, you're so going, she was 6 foot. And I said to her this last Sunday when I talked to her, you're 6'2 now. There's not a lot of great 6'2 female soccer players, right? Your center of gravity is so high, you could be a great volleyball player, right? But it's going to be really hard to compete against 5'5 females who are shorter, closer to the ground, center of gravity, and they can change directions and cut fast. So anyway, that's a long-winded answer to the 12-year-old question, but yeah, short answer, variety. She's 12, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree. I see this a lot. Me and all my other sisters that all are, one is still in high school, but looking to play D1, The other two of us both played D1, and we all played sports, at least two sports up until high school. And then that's when we started narrowing down to, okay, we all kind of like volleyball the best, and that's what we want to play in college. But when you're young, definitely get out there and, like Billy said, train different movements. I think that overall can help you. A lot of girl athletes can, and boy athletes, you guys can learn how to do different movements and become more of an athlete overall. And I think that's something really good to learn when you are definitely younger for sure. So ditto all of that, Billy. But that was a great response to that question. And I think something that, like you said, can open a whole can of worms in the sports community, you could say. But I think there's a lot of different varying opinions. But overall, I think that was a great response. So, yeah. I want to say thank you, Billy, for being here today and answering all the questions about vertical jump. That was super insightful. And if you guys have any other questions for us, audience, please leave it in the chat below, and we will be sure to answer those questions in the future podcasts. Again, these live stream podcasts are weekly, so we will be live every single week, usually on Wednesday. This was kind of a one-off on a Thursday, but usually it'll be Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Mountain Time if you want to tune in. So we will see you guys next week, and thank you guys for listening.